Welcome to the Radio Life Sciences Podcast for a behind-the-scenes look into GSLS, made by students and educators for the scientists of tomorrow.
Hi everyone, Evelina here, and welcome to another episode in the Your Career series of the Radio Life Sciences Podcast. The Your Career series covers different topics related to your career after you graduated. Every episode, we have interesting guests of inside or outside academia who will tell you more about their job, or we will talk about important skills that could prepare you for your career. Today, we also have multiple guests at our podcast, and together we will talk about our careers so far and also shine light on the upcoming Life Sciences Career Week. All right, so let's start with a brief guest introduction, as we always do here in the Your Career series. So today, I'm here with
Yvette.
Who is
28 years old.
She works as
an MD PhD student
at
the Princess Máxima Center in Utrecht.
Nice. You can wake her up in the middle of the night for
planning my next trip.
Okay. And her favorite quote is,
oh yeah, I had to think about that, but and then I thought when I was younger, and I thought of the Forrest Gump quote, which says, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Nice. I love that one. Okay, and waking you up in the middle of the night for your next trip. You love traveling?
Oh, yes. I love traveling. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually now planning a 4-month trip. So I'm like, this is a dream to do now.
Whoa. Cool. And what's on your next, your next stop?
We're going to do South America for 4 months. And I'm now currently reading about the Galapagos Islands a lot.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Amazing. Well, Yvette, thanks for joining us today. Yeah. We will hear more about you later in the episode. And as mentioned, we have multiple guests. So we're going to continue with our next guest. Because today I'm also here with
Rianne Bouwmeester.
Who is
38
years old. She works as
a policy advisor
at
the Biomedical Sciences Department.
Nice. You can wake her up in the middle of the night for...
Well, rather not. But if you really, really insist on waking me up, then bring me a really delicious piece of pie.
Ooh, piece of pie. And then which pie?
Sweet or savory? Doesn't really matter. I'm into most of it. It should be delicious.
Okay, cool. And what is your favorite quote?
My WhatsApp quote currently states, together is my favorite place to be.
Hmm. Oh, that's sweet. And who do you love to be with most?
I think I have this quote since the birth of my second son. Mm. So it mostly makes me think of my home situation, but it also resembles to the fact that I like to work together, to be surrounded with people. Yes, I flourish working on my own, but I really, really like to chat and discuss with others as well about the stuff we're doing. So together is always better.
Nice. Already a lovely take-home message. Great, Rianne. Thanks for joining us today as well. Then we're continuing to our last guest that I'm also here with today. So today I'm also here with
Litske,
who is
22 years old.
She works as, or is a...
A bachelor's student, but also commissioner of external affairs of Amino.
Nice. And that is at our university?
Yeah, it's a study association.
Oh yeah, okay, great. And you can wake her up in the middle of the night for...
A tompoes and a really good cup of tea.
Tompoes. Nice. And your favorite quote is...
Yeah, I thought about that, but I don't really have a favorite quote.
No,
not for me.
You don't love quotes?
No.
Okay, well, that's also good. It's fine. Well, Litske, Rianne, and Yvette, thanks for joining me again today. Let's see. So as mentioned, we're going to talk about the Life Sciences Career Week, and we're going to talk about our careers in general. So let's first dive a little bit deeper in the Life Sciences Career Week, which is coming up. Maybe Rianne, could you tell us a little bit more what that career week entails and, what it is about?
Of course. The Life Sciences Career Week, we organize it together with the PhD Course Center. So our target group is not only master's students, but it's also for PhD students and even for postdocs that are, thinking about the next steps in their career. And during your master's, which is just only 2 years, it's super fast. So we already try to encourage students to think about the career, what they would like to become afterwards. But the workshops that are within the curriculum, that is just not sufficient to get students thinking, is what I believe personally. And then there is also additional workshops and things about that are organized by career services, which is super nice. But then again, it's only a short time. So therefore, we decided to create this Life Sciences Career Week. So a full week focused on career orientation. What would you like to become? What would you like to do? In several workshops that are offered during the week. On Thursday, we encourage actually everyone to also participate in the BCF career event, which is organized in the Jaarbeurs Utrecht. And there you can meet many employers, etc., and have chats with them. It's really it's a really interesting event, I think. And then on Friday we wrap up. Well, we also have alumni actually that you can talk to, both for master students and for PhDs, for MD PhDs. And on Friday we wrap up the Life Sciences Career Week with two keynote speakers, and one is focused on, for our international students, how you could dive into the Dutch labor market, so to say. And then we really, really finish with a keynote speaker that can tell you everything about the life sciences job opportunities in the Benelux. So this keynote is really for everyone. I think he can have really interesting insights for you. So we would love our students to participate in there. So that's why we're here.
Yeah, wow. Amazing. And I don't know if we already covered the date, but it's from Monday 27th of May.
Correct.
Until Friday the 31st of May.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Lovely. I don't think I've had such a career week when I was planning to do some career orientation. Liska, are you looking forward to this week?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and why?
Because I still have no clue what I want to do.
Okay.
But then this week can hopefully help me a little bit, just to, yeah, see whatever there is.
Yeah, I can imagine. And how is that for you, Yvette? Because you are already working.
Yep.
How are you looking to this week? Do you think it would be useful to have such a week, have had such a week when you were younger, or...
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm also excited because I'm part of the MD PhD committee. It's also in the UMC Utrecht. Mm-hmm. And we also organize together, of course, with Geestles, a small workshop, or it's actually more in two people that are going to tell their career life story. So it's on Wednesday in the afternoon, and we have two very interesting speakers that both did their medical school, then did their PhD, but then decided to take a different career path. One went to consultancy, and the other one had a career as a specialist, and then decided to switch into a whole new specialty at quite a late age. So I think it's very exciting to show that you don't have always have to choose the path initially, the right path, or you can also maybe even change during your life what you want, what's important, and then adjust your career to that. So I'm also excited about that. And then personally, I think it's a very nice week, which has a lot to offer for students, but also PhD students. And for example, I'm in the final months of my PhD, so I also saw there were, for example, job interview trainings. So for example, I think I would apply to that mm-hmm. because I have to do that in the near future. So yeah, I think there's a lot to choose from for everybody who in every stage of their student or PhD life.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's amazing. And I think already some great advice that you're mentioning there, that your career path does not necessarily have to be one straight line upwards mm-hmm. and that it's all sunflowers and fairy tales. So how was that for you personally? Could you tell us a little bit more about your career and so far?
Personally, I always wanted to be a doctor since I was very young. that was the only thing I wanted to do. And then I did medical school. And then towards the end of medical school, I felt, okay, I want to work with people and do more of the talking and not so much of the like surgery related parts. So then I became interested in the internal medicine and pediatrics, specialties. And then I did my final internship in the Princess Máxima Center. And I really loved the people there. And I felt very at my place there. And then I got offered a PhD position there. So actually straight after medical school, I went to do a PhD. Mm-hmm. And now I'm almost finished. So then after my 4 months of travel, I will go back to work in a clinic as an annual. So it's a doctor not in training for in pediatrics. Right. And let's see if I can still do that after 4 years of PhD. It's always a bit nervous to go back to the clinic after being away from patient care for such a long time. But I think it will be fine. Yeah. And then in the long future, I hope to become a pediatric oncologist.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's also quite some specialization there.
Yeah. It's still takes a while to get there. Yeah. Okay. So I can use the career career help. But there's, of course, also other things that I would like. But this would be my main
goal. And briefly, I'm just out of interest, what is your PhD currently about?
Yeah, I'm investigating markers in urine for a specific pediatric tumor. It's called neuroblastoma. Mm. It's quite rare; only 30 patients a year get it. And I'm looking for these. It's tumor markers which you can measure at the start of the disease, but also during the course of the disease.
And Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it does seem to me like, as you mentioned, you have had your MD training, mm-hmm. and then you were offered a PhD. So.
Yeah.
It does not seem to me as a very bumpy road so far.
No, it was not a bumpy road. No, but actually, I think that helps a lot to show your interest. If you're working in a workplace and then you show interest that you want to stay there or that you're interested in doing a PhD, and then actually things went kind of smoothly from there. And then I just, at one moment, I had to actually get a bit of courage to directly ask, like, if I could get a PhD position. Right. But then I just walked over to the, like, I did some research in advance on which groups I want to work in. And then I thought, okay, I just have to ask it directly, like, do you have a position for me?
Yeah.
And then, that worked perfectly. And of course, that's not always how it goes, but I just think it helps to say that you want things and then ask directly people, because things don't come naturally, I would say. But if you do a bit of effort, then I do believe that helps. Yeah.
Yeah, to take more of a proactive
exactly.
stance there. Yeah. Great. Rihanna, how was that for you? Did you have also a very smooth road, or was it more bumpy?
You're funny. Well, actually, if I look back, mm-hmm. I think I shouldn't have complained that much. Maybe when I was in this on this road, I really experienced it as being super bumpy, and especially because I didn't know what I wanted to do. For example, after when I finished my master's degree, I had no clue what to do. So I really was stuck there. So yes, if you want to link this to the career week, would mm-hmm. you have benefited from it? Definitely. But note to self.
Yeah,
I should have opened my eyes, because I'm convinced there were workshops there, but I didn't realize it back then. And these are things that I might have regret, and that could have made the path more smooth. Mm-hmm. Actually, in my master's degree, I did an extra internship, because I did express that I had no clue what to do. I was stuck, and then the PI he noticed, and he invited me for a chat just to ask how I was doing. And the hidden agenda was, why are you not completing your writing assignment? But still, he got me thinking. So then I got offered this extracurricular internship in education. I did thought about it, what I wanted to do if this PhD in the lab was not for me, because that was the point I was at. And actually, this extracurricular internship in education, that became my pilot experiment for the PhD that I obtained afterwards in educational technology use. So being in the right place at the right time, showing the skills I have, I think. So being in the right place and doing, well, the best you can, and then people notice what you can do, and yeah, therefore I think I also got offered this PhD position, and in the end, after the PhD, I also upfront I really couldn't imagine that I would be a policy advisor, as I'm now, but yeah, at the end of the PhD there were some additional hands needed actually in the department that I was working for. So I did some policy work there, and then I did a bit more, and then one thing led to another, and then my PhD was finished, but I was doing this much policy work that they actually, well, noticed that they needed this extra set of hands, and well, here I am.
Right.
So yeah. So it's not funny, a clear path.
Because it's maybe not a clear path, and we called it bumpy earlier, but maybe it's not bumpy, maybe the path wasn't clear yet, but you did follow the things you liked, right?
Yeah,
so maybe it's not bumpy, but just you were walking into some mist, right? Of not knowing what.
I should have taken off these dark glasses and really reflect on some things. What do I like? Because I think when I look back, of course, I knew what I liked, which was maybe too many things that were nice, but I couldn't decide. So a little help in decision making would have helped.
Oh, yeah.
But there were many things, and just showing what you got is actually also, I think, a word of advice to students. And then people will notice, even if you don't see it for yourself.
Right.
So believe, really do.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you mean in terms of decision making, there also is for the Career Week, there is a workshop on decision making, right? Isn't it? I'm quickly getting the...
There is one about, it's actually trained by the well-being coaches, so it has a little bit of a different focus than most of the workshops, which are more career-oriented by career services, because we think also your mental health is also important, and it really affects the way you make decisions. So therefore, these are also included. And decision making is a tough thing, so it would never harm to train this.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So for the ones who are interested, this workshop, which is called Personal Leadership Making Choices, is on Wednesday, the 29th of May, from 1:15 to 3:45. And the workshop then is about, it says, during the workshop, we will discuss the process of making a decision, what is difficulty in making decisions, and how you can deal with that. So if that isn't a cliffhanger, I don't know. But hey, if you're interested, then go to that workshop. Great, Rianna, thanks. I was also wondering, Litske, in what phase of career orientation are you currently?
I just finished my bachelor's degree, so I'm very, very much just at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, like at first, when I was younger, I always knew I wanted to be a researcher. It wasn't really defined that much more, but now I'm not really sure anymore. So... yeah, very much at the beginning and at the exploring phase.
Right. So how come that you're not sure anymore?
I think as I now know a little bit more about the options that there are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you know there are more options, you suddenly don't know which one you want to choose.
So you come a little bit in the paradox of choice phase here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And in what options or alternatives are you currently also interested in?
First I just want to do my master's.
Right.
And then after that, I think the biggest choice for me is to decide whether I want to do a PhD or not.
Because
sometimes it feels like everyone is doing one, which is, of course, really nice. But I don't know if that's also something that, for me...
yeah, would suit you.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I can imagine. Because what master's are you planning to do?
I applied to molecular and cellular life sciences.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll get in.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Don't have a plan B, so.
Okay. Right.
That should be it.
I can imagine, yeah. And so what workshop do you think are you going to follow during the Life Science Career Week?
On Monday, I think there's the Exploring the Job Market.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that sounded nice. And then I also definitely want to go to the BCF career event on Thursday.
Oh yeah.
And then I also thought about the keynote speaker on Friday, the one with the about the job opportunities in the Benelux.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. Great. So it's indeed more of the exploration orientation phase. Yeah, so for the ones wondering, the workshop on Monday about exploring the job market is at 9:30 until 11:45 on, Monday, 27th of May. Yeah, great. I can imagine that exploring options is one first step of orientate yourself in the job market. I'm wondering, Yvette and Rianne, what career advice would you give to Litske while she's preparing for her career?
Oof. Well, I would say, of course, a PhD is a very good choice. No, I can imagine your feeling that everybody does. I think that's also a bit where the field I'm in, that like a while ago, it's very difficult to get into a specialization. And then a while ago, everybody who did a PhD, like you get accepted more easily. And then it became a thing that everybody was just going to do a PhD just because you get a higher chance of getting into the specialization. And I also think that's not a good way to go. I think you only have to do a PhD if you really think that it's something that you would like. And even then, it's, of course, your PhD can really change. And I think that's the nice thing about a PhD. There's also a lot of creative room, mostly to think along, maybe do a side project that you would really want to do. So I think that's really the nice thing of a PhD. But just to do it to get somewhere in your career, or because everybody does it, I don't think that would be the best advice. So general advice. Yeah, I really think what Rianne also said a bit more in the beginning, or I think maybe you said it, like choose the path that you think that's what you like the most. What do you like to do? And I think that's important. Like when I did I was actually a bit in doubt of doing a PhD after my medical school, because I'm not really a typical researcher. I'm not that good with details and questions. And I was also a bit like, okay, is this a good option for me? But then I thought, okay, well, I'll just see. And I was excited about the subject and about the group, and I was like, I want to learn something else. And then during my PhD, actually, I learned that I, for example, really liked statistical analysis and getting into that. And then I explored a bit more on that subject. So you can also navigate a bit towards the things that you really like to do. I think that's the most important. And also, don't worry too much about the long-term career. Like, what do I want to be in so many years? I don't really think it's good to have some kind of plan. I mean, I have a plan. I have a quite high goal, I would say, but it's not that I'm like stuck to that goal. I'm still open to see what comes next, and yeah, I keep my options open a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Rianne.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would have loved to have that feeling that I would have known what I wanted to become. So really, really having a clear goal in mind, I think that could make your life so much easier, but only if things are set in line, and indeed if you get the right chances and make most of each opportunity that you get. So it's, even if you have this clear vision, it doesn't mean that you will get there in the quickest way. So my main advice would really be follow whatever you like. Indeed, do what you like most, and there's so many ways that you can get whatever you want to become, or to do what you want to do. So I would take really take it one step at a time. So first, indeed, wait for the outcome of your selection procedure. And yes, I will keep my fingers crossed for you to get into the master's program. But yeah, you will get there. No, don't worry.
Okay, so do what I like and don't worry.
Yep.
Yep.
That pretty much sums it up.
And then if you're there, then do the best you can. But I also learned, it took me a while. In the introduction round, I learned that I'm 10 years older than average here. So I have some more experience, maybe life experience. I also know that you do not always have to aim getting a 9 or a 10. Like, a good grade, passing some tests is also sometimes sufficient. It's not always necessary to go for the highest or the most excellent or promising thing. Just good, do a good job in whatever you do, and then you'll get there.
Okay, good advice.
Awesome. Because is there anything that you worry about?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Naive positive.
Still young.
Yeah, but Evelien, how about you? You are somewhat in the same shoes as Yvette.
Yeah.
As a PhD student, I mean.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I'm currently in my first year of my PhD, doing studies on how we can support students in their decision making. So it's kind of ironic here that we're talking about decision making as well, and that I'm doing research on that. Predominantly, by the way, decisions in their curriculum. So we have a lot of choices of courses, internships, writing assignments, etc., that students can choose from. And we're just wondering how can we support them best in that process. But yeah, I also thought I'm not going to do a PhD because as a bit of a context, I did a bachelor in biopharmaceutical sciences. And then I did a research master in neuroscience and cognition, also here at the Utrecht University. And then I really thought, okay, I'm not going to do labs or other sorts of things, which I thought that's a PhD, right? Because a PhD is very focused on, yeah, experimenting and then doing
and
collecting
pipeting.
Data. Yeah, pipeting indeed, yeah. And I thought, no, that's not something for me. So then I started working as a junior teacher at Biomedical Sciences for 2 years. And then I think it's basically in line with what you mentioned already earlier, Rianne, that was following things that you liked. Because when I graduated from my research master, I thought, okay, the PhD is not my way to go. And then I saw the vacancy of the junior teacher and I was like, hey, I really want to teach, because it's also something I did in side jobs when I was at a bachelor. I taught students in their exam years of high school. So I thought, yeah, giving lectures and teaching students is something I liked. But then along the way, during those 2 years, I thought, I'm missing reading articles. And yes, I really missed that. Funny thing. But yeah, I missed reading articles and looking critical at data and research methods, etc. And then I was also, indeed, as you mentioned, Yvette, about proactively taking your stance in something that you like. And then I proactively reached to my supervisor and said, like, hey, I really would love to do something with research, but I don't know how because I'm currently a teacher. And then we basically collectively looked for opportunities in which I could do, well, in this case, a PhD. And then, yeah, now I am doing a PhD. So that's a kind of a no surprise there that I'm currently doing it. But yeah, then still, when I'm in my first year, I'm also wondering, okay, is this now really the thing that I'm going to keep up for 4 years? Because I also think it's quite of a demanding task to work on a topic for 4 years. And I don't know how it feels for you, Yvette. Are you already fed up with your topic or not?
Well, how honest do I have to be? No.
Very, very honest.
No, I do. I would say that towards the end, it gets a bit more, like, I'm a bit more done with it, I would say. But also it gives a lot of motivation because it needs to be finished. So right. It's also my most productive time I've had so far, I think. So yeah, but it is not, it's also a lot of, like, you have to do a lot, like, you have to motivate yourself. I mean, if you don't do anything, nothing gets done. So right. It's a bit of a lonely few months, I would say, especially in the end. Like, I'm also not doing any lab work, so it's only like computer related things. I actually do most things myself. So then yeah, I think it goes a bit of ups and downs, but I do think it's nice that you're really going for a goal of finishing your PhD, and yeah, that's kind of rewarding in a way.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because in what way do you keep motivating yourself to do the, well, lonely work?
I'm always, when I think of myself working in the clinic again, and it's like kind of long hours, and also because I said after 4 years not being in the hospital working, it's a bit of a, it takes much a lot of energy to go back into it. I'm always seeing myself like, okay, I don't want to do in the evenings and weekends, like I don't want to finish any last papers or like at least as possible in that time. So that's what really keeps me motivated now. Yeah. And maybe my supervisors.
Yeah, that's also a big part of your PhD, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like the team that you're working
Yeah, in. My team is really nice. I have colleagues who are also in the last part of their PhD. So we really try to motivate together, even have, for example, writing days. And I think it's good.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think, ladies, that we are kind of coming to the end of this episode. Is there some closing remarks that we haven't touched upon that you would like to share with the listeners? I will edit some krekel sounds here.
Some spinning wheels. So.
Yeah. Okay. Then I think for a closing remark, Litske, Rianne, Yvette, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today and hearing more about your stories. Yvette, good luck on your ending of your PhD and lovely journey that you have ahead.
Thank you.
Awesome. Great. Litske, good luck with your career orientation. And hopefully you will get into the masters.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, keep our fingers crossed for you. And Rianne, see you back on Monday.
Yeah, looking for all for processing all the registrations for the career week. So I look forward to finding your name in there as well, Evelien.
Yeah, definitely. So again, the Life Sciences Career Week is from Monday 27th of May until Friday the 31st of May. So register. Great. Thank you very much, ladies. And for our listeners, thanks for listening, and hopefully you will listen to our next episode as well. Bye.